Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Andrew P. Shea. And we're all ready for an hour of Penn State football talk. Are you, Andy?
Oh, you caught me drinking my coffee, Jimmy. I'm ready to go.
I did. I'm sorry about that. Some people think I do that intentionally to catch you off guard. If I see you eating or drinking, I'll stop my question real quick. Andy, before getting started, just a reminder. Hey, if you're still looking for someplace to stay, you're looking for accommodations yet, in-state college for either the Ohio State game or the following week, the whiteout against Washington, I've got the solution for you. It's GoPSURV. At GoPSURV, it's RV living, but you just drive your own car there. They have the RV for you. A lot of great things. You could stay from Friday through Sunday, stay the weekend. I think, Andy, one of the best parts of GoPSURV, they have a shuttle back and forth to the game. So you don't have to worry about getting a parking pass, the hassle of the parking. Essentially, what this is, it's a three-day tailgate interrupted by a ball game. It's a great time. They have the fire pits, the pavilion with the big TV, all that. They have a place for food there, or you can cook your own in your own RV. Fantastic way to do it. You want more information, you could go to gopsurv.com or call 800-519-8467. 800-519-8467. Mark will be there to take care of you. Trust me on that. You've stayed over there, haven't you, Andy?
I have. Yes, Jimmy. I've been there twice, I think, for games. The transportation's cool. It's like you can tailgate, you can pregate. So you can pregate. Then you take the shuttle over and you tailgate, then you take the shuttle back and you can postgate.
There it is.
I mean, it's so, that's the key, is like I walk out of the stadium and jump on a shuttle bus. And you don't care how long it takes you to get back. You're not fighting the traffic and you're not worrying. It's the same as getting there. Like, all I have to do is get on the shuttle. I don't have to concern myself with anything else other than chilling and riding till they say get off.
It's a good way to spend the weekend. All right, let's get into some college football here, Andy. You know, it's interesting to me this season. It's been a crazy college football season. And I think during the offseason, we anticipated some of these things going on. And we talked about conference realignment, and you ended up with so many, 18 teams in the Big Ten. What is it, 16 in the Southeast Conference. And one of the things you were going to deal with was an imbalance in schedules because there's so many teams. It's interesting. As they grew in number of teams, they got rid of division play, which would have helped that scenario. Yeah. But what has happened, Andy, I think even a little more, the havoc that has been created because teams aren't playing as many of the other teams. You have situations where you could have multiple undefeated teams. You're going to have tiebreaker chaos at the end of this, Andy.
So is it really havoc, Jimmy? I mean, it is kind of, right? But more than anything, these two power conferences, let's face it, that's what they are. But we're going to talk about the ACC is crazy too. More than anything, it's created an unexpected parity. Without any clarity, right? Like, because it's year one of the college football playoff, we don't know what any of this means. Every team in the SEC has a loss, right? Cray cray. That's crazy, right? But what does it mean? We don't know, because other than these set 100% guaranteed spots into the college football playoff, this is year one of the 12 team. The College Football Playoff Committee hasn't even begun to let you know what any of the ground rules or barriers are. So everyone feels a little unsettled because of that, right? In the 14 college football playoff era, you knew exactly what to expect. It was all inside a box. It was pretty clear to you. Now you're going to this and you have no idea what to expect. And the parity sort of, you know, better games week to week, more games week to week. Yes, there might be some schedule disparity, but overall you've got more teams playing more better teams, and you're fighting teams that are losing more, right? And they're beating each other up in the SEC. They have 6 one-loss teams. So that's a byproduct of the deep and powerful two power conferences.
It is. And you've got so many teams who are still in the mix. Now, first of all, Andy, let me get this straight. I love this.
I love it.
More games are important because there's more teams who are still in the race. You know, it's interesting. Penn State's going to be playing Wisconsin this week. When we talk about the top teams in the conference, you know, it's Oregon, Penn State, Ohio State, obviously. Indiana has gotten into the conversation by staying undefeated. And I think they marked themselves as, you know what, they're probably legitimate after the way they handled Nebraska. Illinois kind of on the fringe. But this Wisconsin team is 3-1. They only have one loss in conference. Now, with already 2 losses overall, they're probably not an at-large contender. But with only 1 loss, they could dream on a Big Ten championship.
Jimmy, the Big Ten has 3 unbeatens right now. Oregon, Indiana, and Penn State.
Yes.
They do not play each other, Jimmy.
Yes.
They do not play each other this season. There's your schedule. That'll
anomaly.
That's your schedule anomaly. You've got 2 one-loss teams. And I get why Illinois is sort of a fringy team, but nobody's played a tougher schedule than any undefeated or one-loss team in the Big Ten. Nobody's played more quality than Illinois has. Nobody. That is not up for debate. So you've got Ohio State and Illinois are your 2 one-loss teams. There's your 5 teams.
Right? Wisconsin also.
They have 2 losses overall.
Oh, okay. Overall. Fair enough.
Yeah, I'm looking at overall, Jimmy, because the conference plays itself out. And you have a conference championship game. You look at the overall record. Like in the SEC, you've got 6 one-loss teams. 6 one-loss teams. But here's your chaos, Jimmy. So you've got Texas A&M, LSU, Georgia, Tennessee, Missouri, and Texas, right? Those are your 6 one-loss teams. Here's your chaos, Jimmy. Is Alabama cooked? They're a 2-loss team. They've got 6 teams ahead of them. Are they on the outside? Are they on the outside already looking in, Jimmy, completely? Like, are they cooked with 2 losses?
No.
No? Really?
Well, here's the thing. I agree with you. If they're a 10-2, Alabama, which means they will also have wins at Georgia or against Georgia. That was a home game. Remember, they still have Missouri, who I think is a fraud. But if they beat Missouri, they also have LSU, who has 1 loss but is undefeated in the conference. If Alabama goes 10-2, they're still part of the conversation, Andy.
I'm saying that this is how deep you're looking at it right now because there's still, you know, 4 or 5 weeks left. So it's, you know, is it really havoc? I think it is. Will 10-2 be enough if Alabama gets there, right, with a loss to Vanderbilt? We don't know because the College Football Playoff Committee hasn't really, you know, clarified itself. And Jimmy, what's the Big 12? Just no, please. Just we're not even going to talk about it. Look at the ACC, Jimmy. When's the last time you looked at the ACC standings, right? 1-loss teams and undefeated teams. Now, I get it. Syracuse, Duke, Pitt, SMU, Miami, and Clemson. Those are all either undefeated or 1-loss teams right now, Jimmy. Call me crazy. You know what I mean? That's going to be a consideration for the College Football Playoff Committee. They're probably not going to see it as a 2-team power conference. They're probably going to look at it with a little more parity. I please hope they don't. But I'm just saying, look at the number of teams that are either undefeated or 1-loss right now. That's in 3 conferences. That's a crap ton of teams, Jimmy.
It is. And, you know, where this havoc could happen, Andy, within there's going to be havoc for the playoffs. I have no doubt about that. And there's going to be conversations because you're going to have like a one-loss ACC or Big 12 team versus, you know, a two-loss Southeast Conference team.
Correct.
But staying within the conference itself, you mentioned Indiana, Oregon, Penn State, all undefeated, do not play each other.
Okay. Do not.
So for that three undefeated teams to happen, both Indiana and Penn State have to beat Ohio State, okay?
Right.
Don't think it's likely. But how about this scenario, Andy? I don't know if this is more or less likely, but you have Illinois playing Oregon, okay, this weekend at Oregon. Oregon's a 3-touchdown favorite. I think we all believe Oregon's going to win that game. But let's go crazy. Let's go crazy and say Illinois pulls off the upset. Crazier things have happened, Andy. Do you know? And let's say the rest of the conference plays out like we think. Ohio State beats Indiana. Ohio State beats Penn State. You know what you have? You have Illinois, Indiana, Oregon, Penn State, and Ohio State. All five teams with one loss, Andy. Don't you want to see that tiebreaker?
Absolutely. Absolutely, I want to see that tiebreaker. I want to see what that looks like because I have no idea what it looks like.
And you know, Andy, it only takes one upset.
One.
Illinois beating Oregon because, again, Ohio State beating Indiana, Penn State is what I think most people would expect. But if you say Illinois does not beat Indiana, Oregon stays undefeated, you still if everything goes to chalk, you would have an Indiana, Penn State, and Ohio State team, three teams with one loss, and only one of them would get in the conference championship game.
Correct. And out of those three are all the one that gets in the conference championship game, you have to assume is a strong college football playoff contender. How about the other two? Are they both strong or is one of them going to be on the outside looking in? So that's where the chaos is going to come, Jimmy, later down the line. Right now, I don't think there's havoc right now. I just think there's a lot more parity in the power conferences without a lot of clarity.
There is. But Ohio State would win that tiebreaker because they would have beaten Indiana and Penn State.
Correct.
But I think an 11-1 in Indiana and 11-1 Penn State both are in the playoffs, Andy. I can't see them not making it. All right, that is it for quarter number one. Lots more to go. Stick with us. Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and Cafe Tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Hulk Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number two. He's Andy Shea. I'm Jim Galante. We're talking college football today. And in quarter number one, we were talking about the havoc created by conference realignment, how we could have these amazing tiebreakers. Then it's going to go into, you know, the discussion with the playoff committee. Andy, they are going to have a tough time. I just want to throw one last question at you. I know you dismissed the Big 12, and I understand it. I get it. But I want to give you a quick scenario before we move on to our next topic, which is BYU and Iowa State.
Don't play each other.
Don't play each other, and they're both undefeated.
Right.
Now, I suspect there's enough parity in the Big 12. I think one of those two teams will lose a game at least. But let's say it plays out and those two teams stay undefeated. Obviously, they play in a conference championship game. And the winner wins the conference, automatically goes to the playoffs. What happens to that other team that was undefeated for the regular season and their only loss is in the championship game. Do they make the playoffs?
Great question. I'm not going to give you, quote unquote, an answer. Dear College Football Playoff Committee, what say you? What are your standards? Are you just a straight W and L pass through? In other words, are you just looking at wins and losses? Or are you actually going to go to work? I don't know, right?
Andy, see, now, I don't think...
I would say no. I don't want that team in the playoffs.
Okay, I will say that I don't think the playoff committee will go strictly wins and losses like they have. Now, I'm going to throw out the Florida State situation. That was an anomaly.
Correct.
But it was undefeated. You go to the playoffs. Two losses, you don't go to the playoffs. And then they do their tiebreaker among the one-loss teams. That's the way it always was. This time, I don't think it'll be that way. I'm not so sure, you know, a one-loss ACC or Big 12 team gets in over a two-loss Southeast Conference team or two-loss versus three. However, my question is also, how much do you count that championship game? Like we talked about in the Big Ten.
Correct.
The tiebreaker is Ohio State gets in above Indiana and Penn State. But let's say they lose to Oregon again. So it's a two-loss. You called Ohio State the second-best team in the Big Ten. Not you particularly, but I mean the fact that they were in the championship game. So now how do you treat a two-loss Ohio State team for seeding purposes versus Penn State and Indiana, who they both beat head-to-head? Now with that Big 12 championship game, two unbeatens and they get one loss. How do you treat a one-loss BYU versus, say, a two-loss Alabama? And that one loss that BYU got wasn't a regular season game. It was a conference championship game. I like the way you evaded answering the question, Andy, right, because you're right. It's going to be up to the playoff committee, and that's why we've been saying all along they have work to do.
They have a lot of work to do because the pond was like 5 to 8 teams deep, maybe 9, right? Like in the 14 playoff system. Now in the 12 and with where we're sitting right now with those 0 and 1 loss teams, I think you're looking at 20 to 25 teams, maybe 20. It probably feels like the number will be 20 for 12.
Yep.
Some are automatic, so you can check those boxes and eliminate them. What's it get down to? What is the X number for X spots that they have to decide?
Andy, they're gonna have to do some work and make some decisions. All right,
absolutely.
Let's get to our quarter two topic. I am doing that more and more, Andy. I'm doing
you
overtime
are.
On topics.
Let's
move on. And Andy, again, we talked about havoc in college football. Is it just me, or are there more surprise disappointing teams in college football this year? Big programs, big coaches, and they are just plain disappointing.
Yeah, I came up with 5. I'm sure you have more because you're
that way.
You're that way, right? Like you're gonna look. I came up with my top 5, and I even went deeper and ranked them from 1 to 5 in terms of most disappointing.
Let's hear it.
So first is Florida State.
Oh, geez.
Like, they're at the top of my list. Preseason top 10, 1-6 overall. Right? Last year was about the quarterback, but I knew even in the NIL transfer portal area, you just knew if you see football the way, you know, you and I look at football a little differently. I knew it was built on bad football program bones. I just knew it. I'm like, this is not solid. This is not sustainable. They are not a preseason top 10. And they have it on that aspect. They kind of haven't disappointed, but they were a top 10 team. So they were at the top of my list.
And you got a pretty big name coach in Mike Norvell there. Okay. Right. Who's number 2?
USC. They're 3-4 overall, and their talent's like, what? They're 1-4 in the conference, Jimmy. And their road record is just abysmal. Losses at Michigan, at Minnesota, at Maryland last week, you know, where they did the same thing they did at Michigan, coughed up a fourth quarter lead. Don't forget, Jimmy. They beat LSU to start the season. LSU only has one loss. That's the only loss for LSU. you look at them offensively and you look at that talent and you're like, I don't get it. I just don't get it. But, you know, they've lost twice on the road almost in identical fashion at Michigan and at Maryland. They were eerily similar the way they just sort of collapsed. They sort of collapsed against Penn State a little bit in the fourth quarter as well and got beat that way. It wasn't
and
like,
Minnesota.
Well, Minnesota, they just it was a tight game and they got beat, right? Like they had their foot on Penn State's neck. You know what I mean? They had Penn State down but not out, and they had a chance to finish that game. So they were definitely second on my list.
And USC, like you said, they beat LSU. So you know there's talent there. And right. You don't have a bigger name coach than Lincoln Riley also. Right. All right, who's number three?
Alabama, right? 5-2 overall. Jimmy, they're 2-2 in the SEC. That's the same record as Florida, I'm just saying. And remember –
They're behind Vanderbilt.
They're behind Vanderbilt. They beat Georgia, right? They beat Georgia. And you're like, well, they're still disappointing, right? Because they're getting worse, right? Like, if you watch the quarterback last week, he's getting worse instead of getting better. And overall, it just looks like the way they're playing football isn't sustainable, and it's not a solid base that they're working from. It feels very shaky to me, and that's why they're disappointing, because they're going in the wrong direction, it seems, and it's time to be going in an opposite direction. That's why I put them third.
I'm with you, and it's the quarterback seems to be going backwards, the number of penalties, the kind of things you don't expect to see from a Alabama team.
Correct. They're simple and small things that matter are unhinged right now. And the quarterback's looks like he's lost his confidence and sort of doesn't feel like he can do what they're asking him to do. He can, because he's athletic and he has talent, but right now he just doesn't believe he can.
Who's fourth on your list?
Michigan. Now, if you know football, you knew a drop-off was coming for the Wolverines, right? That was 100%. Like, they were ranked, you know, top 10-ish. You know, they were the defending national champions, right? They beat USC at home, but otherwise, they are an extremely pedestrian team. They have a decent/good defense. Their offense is abysmal, and their quarterback play is simply scary, right? It's scary bad. And they only have one path to victory, right? That's the reason I got them high on the list, is they only have a certain path to victory. They don't have any adaptability because their roster just was ravaged, right? So they're very simple, easy to prepare for. You have to execute. They're going to play hard, but you can beat them a lot easier than you might think. It's easier to beat them than you might think.
Yes, and I think they only put up 7 points against Illinois.
Right.
It's one-dimensional. They don't have a quarterback. This is still Michigan. After losing all that talent, you expected them to replenish it.
Yep.
Did not happen that way. All right. Who do you got number five?
Utah, dude. I know they lost their free spirit gunslinger quarterback. I get it. But the Utes are not built on their quarterback simply just being a hair on fire gunslinger guy, right? That's not what they do well. They're 4-3 overall. And worse yet, Jimmy, they're 1-3 in the Big 12. That's a fall from grace 2024 campaign right there. I had Utah fifth and considered them fourth and maybe Michigan fifth, but I went with Utah. But yeah, you can't tell me that the quarterback position is that important at Utah, and that position only is that important at Utah. No, that's not how they're built.
It's interesting. I did not have Utah in my list, and now that you mention it, yes, they're only 1-3 in conference. And Andy, this is the Big 12 where they put up points like crazy.
Correct.
Do you realize they average less than 15 points a game?
tragic
in conference.
Fall from grace, Jimmy.
It's a shame to see because I like their style. I like their coach.
I do too.
I'm gonna throw in some honorable mention teams here, Andy, and some of them were not. I think are a little bit expected, but how about Oklahoma? I know going into the the Southeast Conference, and they had a tough schedule, but they've been a disappointment. If you've watched them play, they don't pass the eye test at all. And Brett Venables, the coach, I think a lot was expected from him. Big time job. North Carolina and Mack Brown.
Yeah, North Carolina. That's a good one, Jimmy. But they weren't good enough to be top five. But they've been competitive, but they just lose, right? Like Oklahoma hasn't been competitive for two games, right? Like that's a good call. North Carolina is competitive in their in games, and then they just lose.
But I think a lot more was expected from them, from their program, big name coach. And the last one I'll throw in is Iowa. When we saw their schedule to start the season, we thought, hey, this is a team that no, with losses to Iowa State, Michigan State, along with getting clocked by Ohio State. That's all right, beautiful. Andy, that's it for quarter two. Stick around, your questions, and we ask Andy. Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He's Andy Shea. It's quarter number three. You know what that means. It's time to ask Andy. This is where we take your questions for Andy. And if you want to send in a question, really simple, just download our app, Keystone Sports. Just look for that, Keystone Sports, and you'll see the Ask Andy button. All right. You ready to roll, Andy?
Let's do it, Jimmy. I am ready. Fired up. These are coming off of bye week questions.
Yes. Let's start with Bill from Paoli. He says, Andy, I believe there is no doubt that this is Drew Aller's last year with the team. My question to you is, how high do you think he'll go in the draft?
You are 100% right, Bill, which, by the way, in Paoli, which is a cool area of suburban Philly. Favorite cheesesteak? Email Jimmy and let him know. Favorite place to get a cheesesteak? Please tell me, because I end up in Paoli quite a bit sometimes. But he's right about Drew Aller. This is his last year. He should go to the NFL. What do I think? I think he's starting to develop himself into a first-round draft pick. Do I think he's a top five pick? I don't know. The NFL seems to want to draft quarterbacks more than anything else. And I get it. I just feel I don't think he's fully played himself into a first round draft pick, but there are elements starting to show themselves. Like he could be like the 19th pick or the 26th pick in the first round, possibly, you know, not one of those marquee quarterbacks. I don't think he'll ever rise this year to marquee status unless Penn State does something really, really special to get him a much brighter spotlight, even though they're the number three team in the nation right now. But, Bill, yes, Drew, this is it for Drew Aller in a Penn State uniform, and I think he's developing, and week by week, he's getting closer to being a potential first-round pick.
I think, Andy, he will be a first-round pick. And I just get this crazy feeling that when we see all those early projections of the draft, he'll be somewhere later in the first round.
Correct.
But then come draft night, you know how it always happens where there are teams towards the top of the draft, they start picking quarterbacks. It happens every year.
Right.
And I just get the feeling that that might happen with him, where he'll go higher than any of us expect, because he's got those things that he's got the size. He's got the arm. I think he's going to interview really well. I think they're going to – teams will say, you know what? We want him to be the face of our franchise, Andy.
Jimmy, do not forget. This is one. And you're 100 – I agree with you on all those fronts, the arm talent. In the NFL now, and the quarterback position is moving. Yes, he's good in the pocket, right? Like, he can be a pocket passer. But you have to have mobility. This season, he's shown himself to be a more capable and more willing mobile-type quarterback. That is just as important as anything else in my book, is because you can't – NFL teams can't draft statues anymore. They used to love their statues, right? Like, that was sort of what they liked. Not being a dual threat complete. No one's ever going to say Drew Aller is a complete dual threat quarterback. But his willingness and his capability as a runner have shown mobility at an increased level. I would say it's probably two steps higher than a year ago, and you might have thought he could get to. That will be just as vital as anything else, in my opinion. But great point.
And Andy, just to piggyback on that, I've been complimentary of him for being more decisive when it's time to run and get a first down. But I will point to that USC game. There's the two fourth down completions to Julian Fleming.
Yep.
Go back and watch the second one. He has to evade a rusher who has almost like a free run at him. He evades him, keeps his eyes up, makes the play, Andy. Pocket that presence. To me was the play.
Pocket presence, Jimmy. He has it, right? And yes. His face mask is always up. His All face right. mask is up.
Let's move on. Let's go to our buddy Jimmy in Forest City, who says, Andy and Jim, last year Indiana was 3-9 under Tom Allen. This year Indiana is 7-0 and looking very impressive. Does this say anything about Tom Allen's decision-making and strategy/vision, or is it just about the new coaching regime?
It's about the new coaching regime, and let's be honest, I mean – it looks like Indiana found a gold mine in a cornfield, right? Like, maybe even a plow cornfield where the corn hasn't been picked up yet. Like, you had to dig in and under and find it. The coaching has been exceptional. I think, you know, as a head coach, I think Tom Allen, he's always been a defensive-minded coordinator guy who was a rah-rah guy as a head coach, but sort of, he had a ceiling as a head coach, right? And I don't think Cignetti he's shown that his ceiling's different. Plus, he got guys that he wanted, right? Like, he went out and was able to get guys that in his likeness and image that he thought he could help them and coach right away. So I don't think this is a reflection on Tom Allen, Jimmy. I really don't. I think this is more about what Indiana has cooking now and how they built their roster in year one.
I'm with you on this, Andy, and I'll just add this also. He brought a lot of players with him from James Madison. He did a lot of changeover. You mentioned the quarterback also. So I don't think this is, you could say, where, hey, the current coach has the same talent that Tom Allen had a year ago. There's a lot of changeover. The second thing I will point out, and I realize it was a COVID season, but remember, Indiana had that big year. They beat Penn State. I think they were undefeated. And, you know, Andy, that those things happen. I don't want to take anything away from this coach, but can we let him do it for more than 1 year?
Right. Like, I need more body of work.
Yes. You know, credit to him for doing this. And maybe he's going to translate this 1 year there to another job and a big contract. But let's see you do it for more than 1 year. We've had a lot of times where a new coach comes in and, you know, that goes on. All right. Let's go to Rob from Burbank, California. All right. Rob says, no football this weekend. However, there was a women's volleyball. Besides the good season they're having, there's a football connection with Caroline Jurevicius, daughter of Joe Jurevicius.
Ah.
It was the football player. and she's burning up the courts in her first year. As I write this, they're third in the nation. It's time you guys spread the love around the other programs. Love the show. Please feel free to use the question as you see fit. We are. Andy, you want me to field this one?
Joe Jurevicius, Buccaneers receiver, Super Bowl winning wide receiver, was developed way beyond what his talent was, and good on him. So is the fact that he's sort of has a daughter that's doing that, not a surprise. But you're going to have to field this one, Jimmy.
I will happily take this, Andy, since I'm the one who sets the format, sets the topics for our shows. And Rob, it's a great point you make that there are other sports going on. We do hit on some of the other sports, men's basketball. With Jeff Byers part of the program, we definitely hit on wrestling. If you paid attention in the last year, I've done shows with Carolyn Keeger, women's basketball coach. I've had the women's softball coach on. The thing that you have to remember, Rob, is football at Penn State, football is the straw that stirs the drink, okay? Guess what? In programming, it's the same thing. People want to hear about football. Yes, we'll hit on some of that other stuff. We haven't done anything on women's volleyball, and maybe we will this year at some point. But it's really football that pays the bills, Rob. So we are aware of that. But we do try to hit on some of the other programs. All right, next up, Lou from Berwyn. Oh, okay, we're back to Drew Aller, Andy.
All right.
Lou says, and by the way, Berwyn is down there near Paoli also, if you weren't aware of that. Used to be my old stomping grounds. Cool. Lou says, I can't imagine Drew Aller returning for another season. Agreed.
No.
Who's next in line, Bo Prabula or Ethan Grunkmeyer?
Bo Prabula. It's Bo Prabula. James has proven, right? Like, you go look and you look at James. James has proven that loyalty matters, right? And, you know, Bo has stayed. Him and Drew Aller, same class, all in from the beginning, stayed, is a valuable asset to this offense this year under Andy Kotelnicki coordinating it. He has earned his shot to be the number one guy, and I think when Drew Aller leaves after this season, James will position him for that, and it will have to be Ethan Grunkmeyer beating out Drew Aller. In other words, it's Drew's job to lose.
You mean Bo?
Bo, excuse me. It's Bo's job to lose, in my opinion. And that literally doesn't say anything about Ethan Grunkmeyer and the talent that he brings to the table. He could win the job. It's more about the way James likes to run the program, A, and B, particularly at the quarterback position, being a former quarterback himself. That's how he chooses to work that room. And I just think it's a good question, Lou, a really good question. By the way, email Jimmy, favorite place to have a cheesesteak in Berwyn. We'll always take those answers and we'll always try. I will try them because I'll go find them. But it just feels to me like that is what James will do when it comes to Bo Prabula in 2025.
I think Bo will be the heir apparent. He'll get the first shot. But I also will remind you, Andy, very recently, just 2 years ago, when Sean Clifford was still the quarterback, the head guy, Christian Vaiu was next in line.
Correct.
And James put Drew Aller ahead of him.
He beat him. Right, he beat him out.
Right. So it is possible for that to happen.
Correct.
Wouldn't be surprised if there's a little bit of load sharing there too, Andy.
It will be a competition, Jimmy. That's the key word. James likes to use that word. You know, it'll be a competition. It will. Bo Prabula's got the inside track, but it will be a competition.
Real quick, Eddie from Johnstown, more pressure in the Penn State Ohio State game, Ryan Day or James Franklin?
Ryan Day, every day, twice on Sunday. Every day.
He's going to need that win. I'm with you on that one, Andy. As long as James takes care of business against Wisconsin, he's going to be playing with house money against Ohio State. who knows, maybe playing loose and free might help the team. All right, Andy, that is it for Ask Andy. Stick around. We're going to look at Wisconsin next.
Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number four of our show. He's Andy Shea. I'm Jim Galante. We're going to be taking a look at this upcoming game against Wisconsin. But first, a reminder, if you are still looking for accommodations for either the Ohio State or the Washington game, or both, I've got a great idea for you, and that is gopsurv.com. This is the place where they have the RV sitting there waiting for you in Bellefonte. You just drive your own car right up to the RV. RV living then from Friday through Sunday. Great weekend, great place. It's a lot of fun. The RVs are well equipped. You've got TVs there, plus you have a pavilion with a big TV. You have a place to buy your food there. You have fire pits and games. It's a lot of great fun. What I especially like, though, they have a shuttle for you back and forth to the game. You don't have to worry about the hassle of parking. You don't even need to get a parking pass. They take care of all of that for you. If you want some more information, just go to their website, gopsurv.com, or you can call them at 800-519-8467. You'll talk to Mark. Tell Mark I told you to give him a call. All right, Andy, it's time to talk Penn State, Wisconsin. Those Wisconsin Badgers are 5-2, 3-1 in the conference. They are coming off three straight wins, Andy.
Yes.
Competition, not very good.
Not good at all.
Not good at all. But they didn't just win. They blew out those three opponents, Andy.
Correct. They were able to find their footing against three teams that would be Purdue, Northwestern, and Rutgers, who are combined 2-10 in the conference right now. Right, that they found their footing because they lost their starting quarterback, their backup quarterback. They found their identity. Look, they're still a very good coached football team. The end of the day, the thing about Wisconsin is they're well coached, right? That Luke's good. Luke's really good. And the schedule afforded them the opportunity to find their footing, right? If they're playing Ohio State, Oregon, you know, the likes of Illinois, Indiana in that stretch rather than Michigan State, for example, even that's more of a, so they have found their footing. To me, is it real or is it Memorex? Is the quarterback that good? Can they run the ball against the defense? This is not oh my gosh, Purdue's run defense is so bad. And Wisconsin sort of has become a team that wants to run the ball, get the ball out of the quarterback's hand super, super fast. Don't let him have to make many decisions, but run the ball and keep it. Defensively, they were going to overpower those teams, but when the playing field was a little more level, their defense is wobbly. So it's more about Penn State somehow for me. Like, look, this is tough, Jimmy. They've been on the road at West Virginia. 2 weeks ago, they were on the road in L.A. Now they're on the road in Madison, right? They're also, the last two of them, they're missing out on great October home games because the weather's been spectacular, right? They've been on the road.
Of course.
Right? Penn State's 6-0. They're number 3 in the nation, but it's a very quiet Penn State team. You know what I mean? It's not, Penn State doesn't look like the number 3 team in the nation, right? They don't look like special, right? Like the Illinois game was a very effective, well-executed football victory. I thought it was a very good win. and a very well-played football game. But on the Q rating, 21-7 doesn't look all that great. You know what I mean? So they're not a sensational team, but they're very strong in a lot of different areas. You know what I mean? Like, it's not one side of the ball. 2023 team, that was all about defense, right? The offenses provided more balance. So, you know, their offense is third in the Big Ten and 10th in the nation, right? Their defense, I know they got shredded in the run game a little bit. Their defense is third in the Big Ten and 6th overall in the nation. So it's not a flash Penn State team. It is a very solid core and good football bones Penn State football team. And here's what the crux of playing a team like Wisconsin. It'll probably be a grind type game because that's the way Wisconsin will make it. And I believe they have the confidence and they feel a lot more comfortable in their own skin that Penn State's going to get their best shot. Here's the thing. 60 minutes against Penn State is now a long time. It's hard to play Penn State for 60 minutes because they come at you in waves from both angles. Penn State is now the hard team to beat. That is the rock that I stand on with this Penn State. They are not an easy team to knock off their spot and beat. USC had them. They had a foot on Penn State's throat almost, and they couldn't keep them down. They climbed off the deck and beat them in overtime. That is what Penn State is bringing to the table in this matchup, and it matters. So it's a very cruxy game, and it's another difficult environment for a road game. Can you say a James Franklin coach team wins 3 road games in extremely tough venues? You know, Morgantown, LA at the Coliseum, and in Madison. Tough. It seems like this team is built for that. The harder it is, somehow the better they are.
Andy, there's a lot of things to unpack from what you mentioned. I think one of the things you talked about, I do believe that this is a different Penn State team in that, as you pointed out, they could beat you in different ways.
Right.
You know, the Illinois game was just terribly efficient, controlled the ball, ran the ball, didn't ask a lot of Drew Aller. USC, they got behind. They did ask a lot of Drew Aller, and he came through for them. There's a lot of different weapons. We know about both running backs, the quarterback, the tight end has proven to be sensational. I do believe there's some skill at the wide receiver position. The defense is not quite as flashy as it was a year ago, but when you look at the numbers, hey, yeah, pretty good. What the outside concerns, though, are this winning on the road. In the Big Ten, it's really shown to be tough to win on the road. I think Madison can be a tough place to play. I think the fact that it's a night game adds to that effect a little bit.
It does.
You also have a Penn State team that has started slow multiple times where it starts to appear to be a trend. And you talked about, you know, Wisconsin would like to control the ball, reduce the number of possessions. That short passing game is something that has hurt Penn State. Get the ball away before the rush could get to the quarterback. Plus, you also throw into this, Andy, you know, Penn State's record coming after a bye. And again, this is that sandwich game between, you know, USC and Ohio State next week. Is this that game you could get caught napping a little bit?
So for me, this game starts and ends for Penn State. It's about their run defense. And I'm going to say something that might surprise you a little bit, Jimmy. I think their run defense is outstanding. And I know USC carved them up for 190 yards and nearly 8 yards of carry. They have, and Wisconsin is a team, not because they're Wisconsin, right, under Luke Fickell. Luke has just found what works for this team in the footing. He kind of wants this offense to be more open, but it can't be. So they're a more run, you know, they set the table with the run. Penn State has had 2 weeks to prepare for this, right? That's point A. And in the USC game, they got punched in the mouth and knocked sideways, right? I still say they are an outstanding run defense. They have proven that to me. You get punched in the mouth and get knocked sideways like that and survive it, and then you have 2 weeks to prepare for what you know is coming at you. There is a high value proposition in that football wise, I think, for Penn State and this defense. That's why I think it starts and ends with me. The outcome of this game starts and ends with me on Penn State's run defense. They will bring everything else to the table that you want and need offensively. That is not going away, Jimmy. But for Penn State to have success at a good and comfortable level for them in this road game in a difficult environment, the run defense will be – that will be the where the rubber meets the road for me.
I agree, and that I don't think Wisconsin wants this game to fall on their quarterback's arm. Right. And that's what my only concern is, you know, this has that makings of that trap game, you know, with Ohio State coming up. And again, Penn State not being particularly good after a bye week. Let's see how they prepare themselves for this Wisconsin team. All right, Andy, we've got a couple minutes left. Got to hand it over to you for your prediction and your bold prediction.
Yeah, Wisconsin's run the ball more effectively lately. We've talked about how they found their footing. Walker has emerged as the guy, right? Like, he's the running back. And they are still – Luke is very good at finding a sort of striking a balance, you know, with a quarterback. This is a backup quarterback. They lost their starter earlier in the year to a bad injury. And – they've been able to keep him inside the box and get a little more comfortable and confident because he is a number two quarterback against some pretty bad defenses. This is now we're going to see what it's like against a defense that's going to come at you. They're going to come at you. They are going to come at you. So can Braden Locke, can he win this game for them? Right? Like, can he actually win the game? Wisconsin winning, the path to victory runs through him. I don't see it any other way. So I'm going to give you my prediction. Penn State 31, Wisconsin 20. Bold prediction. Trey Wallace leads Penn State in receiving at the end of this game, Jimmy.
Ooh. Not the tight end. Not the tight end.
So Wisconsin has trouble. They don't get to the quarterback. Drew Aller. And Penn State's line has been very good in pass blocking. And like we talked about earlier in the show, his pocket presence is there. I think he can carve him up. I really do. I think Drew can carve up this defense.
I'm with you. I think that not that they didn't know this, and I think we saw that Drew Aller can do more than they asked him to do earlier in this season. We saw that in the USC game, and I think we're going to see more of that in this game because this is can be an explosive passing team, this Penn State team. Drew Aller's the guy who could do that. So, Andy, I think going forward, we're going to see more going on from Drew Aller. My score prediction, very close to yours, I have it 30-17. I believe it's a 6.5-point spread, so we both have Penn State covering that spread. All right, Andy, that's it for the show. Want to thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.